Supreme Court clarifies the scope of pre-referral jurisdiction under the Arbitration Act. In this podcast, I, Shruti Dhonde, member of the International Dispute Resolution and Investigations team at Nishit Desai Associates, discuss the Supreme Court judgment in the case of NTPC Limited versus SPML Infra. Recently, the Supreme Court in NTPC Limited versus SPML Infra overturned the judgment of the Delhi High Court on the point of the scope of pre-referral jurisdiction under Section 11 of the Arbitration and Conciliation Act 1996, hereinafter referred to as the Arbitration Act for ease of reference. While the Delhi High Court had referred the claims to arbitration, the Supreme Court examined the bona fides of the claim and found them to be untenable and meritless. In its judgment, the Supreme Court has discussed the jurisprudence on the scope of pre-referral jurisdiction, including the jurisprudence prior to the Arbitration and Conciliation Amendment Act 2015, hereinafter referred to as the Amendment Act for ease of reference, as well as post the amendment. Based on this discussion, the Supreme Court proposed an expansive scope of examination at the pre-referral stage in the form of the eye of the needle approach. I will begin with a factual background. NTPC Limited or NTPC and SPML Infra or SPML had entered into a contract for a project, hereinafter referred to as the contract for ease of reference. Under the contract, SPML was required to furnish bank guarantees to NTPC. Upon the completion of the project, NTPC issued a completion certificate and SPML issued a no demand certificate. NTPC also released the final payment but withheld the bank guarantees on account of pending liabilities and disputes with respect to other projects. SPML in turn claimed a certain amount from NTPC as liabilities recoverable for actions attributable to NTPC under the contract. I will now go over the chronology of events that led to the present dispute, beginning with the writ petition. SPML called upon NTPC to appoint an adjudicator for resolving the pending disputes. Upon failure on part of NTPC to appoint an adjudicator, SPML filed a writ petition with the Delhi High Court, hereinafter referred to as High Court for ease of reference, under Article 226 of the Constitution for the release of the bank guarantees. This was followed by a settlement agreement. Pending a final outcome in the writ petition, negotiations between the parties culminated in the execution of a settlement agreement, hereinafter referred to as the agreement for ease of reference. Under the agreement, NTPC agreed to release the bank guarantees and SPML undertook to A. withdraw its pending writ petition and B. not initiate any other proceedings including arbitration under the contract. Upon the release of bank guarantees, SPML filed an application before the High Court for the appointment of an arbitrator to adjudicate on certain disputes under the contract. This application was on the basis that SPML had under economic duress at the time of entering into the agreement, and was therefore coerced into doing so. The Delhi High Court allowed the application by observing on a prima facie basis that the claims of SPML might be difficult to establish, but still they cannot be held to be ex facie meritless, insubstantial or frivolous. I will now discuss the judgment of the Supreme Court in this case. Upon appeal from the High Court, the Supreme Court, in its judgment, discussed the jurisprudence on the scope of pre-referral jurisdiction, including the jurisprudence prior to the Amendment Act as well as post to the Amendment Act. The Supreme Court examined the facts based on this jurisprudence to pronounce its judgment. Firstly, discussing the scope of pre-referral jurisdiction prior to the Amendment Act. The court had categorized the treatment of cases at the pre-referral stage into the following three categories. Category A, cases that will have to be decided by the court itself, such as determination of the existence and validity of the arbitration agreement. Category B, cases that the arbitral tribunal will exclusively decide. And category C, cases that the court may choose to decide, such as determination of whether the parties had concluded the contract or transaction by recording the satisfaction of mutual rights and obligations or by making the final payment. The approach envisaged in the final category is also known as the accord and satisfaction approach. Secondly, I will discuss the 2015 Amendment Act, which narrowed the scope of pre-referral jurisdiction. Pursuant to the recommendations of the 256th Law Commission report, Section 116A was inserted by way of the Amendment Act with a view to restrict the jurisdiction of the courts at the pre-referral stage. The inquiry under Section 116A was restricted to the existence of an arbitration agreement and nothing more, nothing less. Even so, the pre-2015 amendment approach of accord and satisfaction was followed by the court in certain instances. The court, in its interpretation of Section 116A, in the landmark case of Vidya Drolia and others versus Durga Trading Corporation, referred to as Vidya Drolia for ease of reference, extended the scope of pre-referral jurisdiction under Section 116A to a prima facie examination of the existence and validity of the arbitration agreement, as well as the arbitrability of the subject matter of the dispute. Thirdly, I'll move on to the examination of the facts in the present case, basis the above discussed jurisprudence. The court in this case, basis the jurisprudence, proposed an eye of the needle approach, which entails a twofold inquiry. The first part is a primary inquiry pertaining to a thorough examination of the existence and validity of the arbitration agreement. And the second part is a secondary inquiry pertaining to arbitrability and entails a prima facie review of the facts, including an examination of the bona fides of the assertion on arbitrability. The court undertook a prima facie examination of the material facts of the present case. It observed that the agreement had been executed when SPML was protected by an interim order in its writ petition. It noted that the agreement was comprehensive and provided for the release of the bank guarantee, a restraint on NTPC from filing contempt proceedings against SPML for letting the bank guarantees expire, amongst others. The agreement also recorded that there were no issues pending between the parties. In this context, the court noted neither was the agreement nor the release of the bank guarantees disputed. Further, it was about 2 months after the execution of the agreement and the release of the bank guarantees that SPML had issued a letter of repudiation. In light of this, the court concluded that the letter of repudiation was issued by SPML only to wriggle out of the terms of the agreement. Basis this prima facie examination, the court found the claims raised by SPML to be an afterthought and the allegations of economic duress and coercion to be lacking bona fide. Therefore, the court dismissed the application, holding the claims and allegations to be ex facie, frivolous and untenable, and meritless and dishonest. In doing so, the court observed that supervisory courts cannot act merely mechanically. It is their duty to ensure that parties are not compelled to arbitrate their disputes when the matter is demonstrably non-arbitrable. Non-performance of this duty would undermine the effectiveness of arbitration. The High Court in this case, following the limited scope of jurisdiction, had referred the disputes on maintainability of the claims to the tribunal. However, the Supreme Court, in its judgment, stated that the High Court should not have referred these matters to the tribunal, but should have decided on the bona fides of the claim. Now moving on to the analysis and conclusion. The court, in a series of judgments, since the case of Vidya Drolia till the present case appears to have been expanding the scope of review at the pre-referral stage from a mere verification of the existence and validity of the arbitration agreement and the arbitrability of the subject matter to also include an examination of the bona fides of the claim. Such an extensive examination is likely to take up extensive time of the already overburdened judiciary. On account of such precedents, it might become difficult for courts to restrict their jurisdiction to merely checking the existence and validity of the arbitration agreement and the arbitrability of the subject matter. Further, in light of the current development in NN Global Mercantile Private Limited versus Indo Unique Flame, the pre-referral jurisdiction of courts has already been expanded to taking a prima facie view on the sufficiency of stamping as well. Parties intending to delay or avoid an arbitration may use this position to cater to their commercial interests by raising multiple issues relating to the bona fides of the claim at the pre-referral stage itself. Hence, the widening scope of pre-referral jurisdiction could potentially be used in the form of a dilatory tactic, thereby reducing the efficiency of the arbitration process. Notably, Section 116A was omitted by the Arbitration and Conciliation Amendment Act 2019. However, this omission is yet to be notified. It is noteworthy that this 2019 amendment lacks specific reasons for the omission of the section. The focus of this 2019 amendment appears to be on institutional arbitration. However, the question that then arises is whether institutional arbitration should be such wherein the arbitration institutions would also have to undertake the examination as described above at the pre-referral stage itself. Widening the jurisdiction at the pre-referral stage would defeat the concept of a time-bound and expeditious arbitration process, as an expansive examination might take much longer and may even result in an unfavorable outcome with an arbitrator not being appointed, as in the present case.